Today's show is brought to you by Bogart Extractors, an industry leader in hydrocarbon extraction. Over the last decade, Bogart has implemented many new technologies which have helped to revolutionize the way hydrocarbon extractions are performed. Each unit is made with sanitary stainless steel and is built and tested right here in the USA. Their certified system for use in licensed facility meet all NFPA and ASME standards and undergo peer reviewed by third-party engineers to ensure facilities and its employees can operate safely. Beyond simply making a functional extractor, Bogart has many additional features which make extraction faster and more cost-effective compared to other manufacturers. These features include hydrocarbon failing films to supercharge evaporation rates, heavy-duty explosion-proof pumps for flammable liquids and vapors, industrial chillers capable of maintaining large tanks of solvent at temperatures below 60 Celsius. They also offer extensive tech support and consultation services. So whether you need to set up an extraction lab from scratch or you just need some replacement gaskets, give them a call at 855-553-3887 or check out their website at www.bogart.com.
Welcome to The Hemp Show, the show that gives you access to the world of wholesale hemp, from raw materials to finished goods and everything in between. I'm your host, Mark Rastelli. Welcome to the February 2nd, 2021 Hemp Show powered by CanTrade. My name is Mark Rastelli. I'm the CEO of CanTrade and the host of The Hemp Show. Next on The Hemp Show is Ben Gonzalez, the VP of Business Operations at Premier CBD Labs. Ben is an executive level event, marketing, team, and project manager. His decade as a motion picture producer, event marketer for Fortune 500 clients, commercial real estate researcher, policy analyst, photographer, producer, content creator, and certified mediator make him a dedicated and effective leader, a fierce business strategist, an expert communicator, and passionate generator of invaluable business connections. Whoa, Ben, that was a long sentence there. Ben utilizes his position to analyze hemp regulations and laws in order to better advocate for positive growth and change in the industry. Lastly, as an avid music lover, Ben moonlights as a Chicago deep house DJ. Thank you very much for being here today, Ben. You've got the beats, so let's get this party started.
Thanks. Yeah. I'd like to say that I wrote that myself, but most of it I didn't.
Hey, from just reading that, you've done it all. And your fact that you're a deep house DJ or in Chicago is great. That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. I got to say that this town runs on house and blues and a lot of stuff in between. But and I'm working on some projects right now that are incorporating some Chicago house music into some scenes outside of Chicago. That is really great. But I'm not here to talk about house music. I could do that for 15 minutes if you prefer.
No. That's a different channel. It's a different party channel we're gonna have.
Right on. To kind of go back on what our last presenter said, I can attest lime will kill some bitterness. It's a great additive. And as somebody who's of Mexican descent, there's a lot of lime in the foods that we make. And it can CBD tacos.
Oh, that sounds bomb. Hey, right? I learn new things every day. I didn't know about the lime trick.
Yeah, TIL. So I work with Premium CBD Labs. We're a third-party testing lab that is based in Madison, Wisconsin. We service the whole country. And I'm not here to tell you about our lab testing services or why you should test your stuff or any of that. I can touch on that later if there are questions about it. But you had somebody on from a great lab last week, and there's not much I can add to what she said. Today, I really wanted to help people understand what's going on with the final rules for hemp that just came out from the USDA on the eve of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Mm-hmm. They dropped it that day.
Yep. Very, very important, too, because the industry as a whole has been watching this and just waiting to see what the final rule lands on.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, when they came up with the interim rules in October, they opened it up to comments from the industry, and comments they got when they published the final rules, they published pages and pages. I mean, this is a 96-page document 40 pages of that probably are just them listing off comments that they got and responding to them, which I was really surprised about. And surprised
which is
to see
great. A lot of times your comments kind of just enter the ether and that's it. You never know what happened to them.
Right. Right. I mean, they singled out a lot of different perspectives and comments on this, but let's get down to some of the nitty gritty on this. One of the big things that people had a misconception about with the interim rules and what the USDA's jurisdiction is and what their scope is, the 0.3% THC threshold that everybody is peeved off about, the USDA can't touch it. The USDA does not have jurisdiction to change the threshold of what the definition of hemp actually is. That goes back to the Agricultural Marketing Act of 1946, as well as the amendments that have come forward from the 2014 Farm Bill and the 2018 Farm Bill. It's also outlined in the Controlled Substances Act. So if you want to bark on some doors about 0.3%, call your congressman, call your senators, and don't be shy. Write a letter to the DEA. Tell them to take it off Schedule 1, because cannabis THC is still Schedule 1, whereas fentanyl, which is killing people, is Schedule 2.
Right, which we can all agree is absurd.
Absolutely.
Now, quick question before we jump off the 0.03%. Now, my understanding is part of the uproar was related to them trying to classify THCA. So basically, the combination of THCA and THC has to be below your 0.03%. Is that correct?
That is correct. So they clarified that and they said, look, we're regulating THC as the psychoactive compound. What we're going to say and what the laws, and again, this is codified in law, not just the USDA. The USDA is just kind of clarifying the position that if THC, Delta-9 THC specifically, is the psychoactive compound, then we have to test the hemp as if that THCA has been decarboxylated. So when you're getting your official compliance test, and if you're working with a lab that knows their muster, they're going to report your THCA to you if they're using a HPLC. If they're using a GC, they probably can't, not with any certainty. But they're going to report to you your total THC as well, either by decarboxylating the sample first, by using heat, which is the most common method, or by accounting for the Delta-9 THC and then adding your THCA in times 87%, so 0.8777, something like that. That's the conversion rate. But yes, they are saying total THC is what they're looking for.
Okay. And then just to, I'm definitely not an expert here, but my understanding, decarboxylation, when you heat THCA, you have that, what is it, the carboxyl carbon attached molecule or something that then detaches to create THC, which surprisingly, even though that little tiny attachment at the end of the molecule, that creates a completely different effect, whether it basically takes the THCA from possibly non-psychoactive to psychoactive so that it can be used within the body and ingested for recipes and ingredients. So right. I probably butchered that a little bit, but that was just to summarize there.
Close enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That summarizes it very well. So when you heat it up, you're taking some carbon off and it changes the way that the compound acts. Similar things happen with other psychoactive substances, and I can get into that in a different conversation sometime, but it's very interesting. They also clarified some other things, but anyway, so the USDA can't change that. It's kind of a big sticking point. I kind of wanted to make that clear because the rest of this kind of falls in line after you understand that they can't change the 0.3% rule. What they can do is different. They also clarified that they're not regulating Delta-8. Delta-8's been hot lately. It's been a big issue for a lot of people. There's been a lot of back and forth legally about it. Delta-8 is not regulated by the USDA. They said they specifically said it's because it occurs in such low quantities in the plant that they're not going to touch it. The DEA does have it listed as a Schedule 1 substance, though.
Okay.
Just that out there. I'm not going to say whether it's legal or not, because I'm not a lawyer.
Sure.
So I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. We'll get a host of lawyers on this next time to kind of give us some opinions. Yeah. Right. We don't need to go that direction. Just to consult your
another
attorneys.
Big. Yeah, exactly. Please consult your attorneys, consult the law books. The other big one that's a huge issue is that the USDA is not going to be regulating work in progress hemp extracts, or WIPHE. These are the intermediary compounds that come from when you start off, processing the hemp into crude or whatever, and it goes to other people. Then they don't regulate that. The USDA's jurisdiction really stops with the plant. They clarify, hey, we're covering what's growing in the ground, not the processing of it. Processing is covered by the DEA and FDA respectively. So that's another thing.
Okay. So question on that one, would that be an overall good thing or bad thing for the industry as a whole, or just kind of benign?
It's probably
more gray benign. Area.
Yeah. It's more gray area. If WIPHEs are regulated the same way as the DEA rules suggested, it could be bad just because they're stating that anything that has above 0.3% THC is considered marijuana. So unless you have a DEA handling license, controlled substances handling license, you can't be touching this stuff. So for somebody who's making CBD gummies and they get their hands on some crude, or they're turning that crude into CBD isolate or whatever, that crude is technically a controlled substance. Now the DEA hasn't really enforced this, but they could. I don't see that happening with the new administration and with the change in the DOJ, which heads up the DEA. I think that the new administration is going to have a much more lax and lenient response to the cannabis industry in general, if not some of the promises that have been made on the campaign trail for that. But
overall, ultimately, end goal here, declassification can kind of fix all of that, right? I mean,
it could
take away that gray area and then make it to where obviously we don't need to have a class one classification for any of the cannabinoids, really.
Right, right.
The O Cannabis Conference and Expo returns to Toronto June 1st through the 3rd, and there are still good booth locations available. This exciting event is free for cannabis retailers and will feature Tommy Chung receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the O Cannabis Industry Awards. For more information about exhibiting or to register to attend, go to ocannabis.com. That's OCANNABIZ.com.
So to go along with that, when they're measuring that total THC, and this is I've got a lot to cover here, and I only have 4 minutes.
Oh yeah, apologize. Sorry,
it's okay. Off.
Dive in. We're going to get on the long format for sure because there's a lot here.
There's so much to cover. Let me see if I can just run down the real quick list. Total THC, when they measure it, is done by dry weight. This means accounting for taking the moisture out of the plant. That's a big one. So you need to make sure. And again, we're talking about decarboxylated stuff. They changed the sampling requirements so that the top 5 to 8 inches of the plant need to be collected. And the biggest thing about sampling requirements is that they need to have 95% confidence that no more than 1% of that lot is going to exceed that 0.3% threshold. They're giving the states and tribes who adopt their own plans a little bit of leeway, and they're able to adopt what is called a performance-based plan. And I probably should explain that a little bit in a different way at another time, but there's other stuff to cover that's probably even more important. One of them, and this is big, they're allowing for remediation.
Oh, that is big. Very
right.
Big. Yeah.
Right. So if you grow hot hemp and it's below the negligent threshold, which changed from 0.5% to 1%, another big one. So if you grow hot hemp and it's below 1%, it's considered good faith. You're not hit with a negligence charge, and you have a chance to remediate it. You can do that a couple different ways. It's not great, but it's an avenue, and it's a big, right. It's a big avenue. That other big thing to touch on, that negligence thing. Again, if you grow below 1%, it is not considered negligence. However, if you grow above 1%, it is considered negligence. And you can only, this is big, you can only get one negligence charge per year now.
Oh, so you can only, wait, so you, sorry, let me rephrase that. Above 1% is negligence. Okay.
Yes.
So below 1%, you can remediate as much as you want.
Right.
Okay,
if it's, still, if it's above 0.3%, it still needs to be destroyed. They're also allowing for on-farm destruction methods, and you don't need to have an agent there to witness it. You can record it yourself and send in documentation. You can mulch it back in, you can till it, you can disc it, you can do a whole bunch of stuff on your farm to nullify it. You can take the flower off of the stem and sell the stem, lots of different things. And I go into a bit more detail on this, and I'll be publishing something on our website later today, probably. Not for
we'll,
sure, but
we'll be sure to, when you publish that, let us know. We'll be sure to send that out to the attendees and then also to the network.
Yeah, and that's for sure. So remediation is a thing, and it is possible. the big thing is you can't get more than one negligence charge in 1 year. However, if you get three negligence charges within the span of 5 years, you'll get your license suspended. They changed the sampling window. So you have now, instead of 15 days from the point of sampling to harvest, you have 30 days. No sampling post-harvest, unless it's for remediated crop. And there's other alternatives and stuff like that, but I want other stuff that can go that I can get into on this as far as the way that testing labs need to be registered. All the testing labs need to be DEA registered by the end of 2022, I think. They don't have to be ISO 17025 accredited, although it's recommended. They haven't changed their felony conviction issue, which is if you have a felony conviction of a controlled substance, you can't be in a hemp program for up to 10 years after your conviction. I think that that law is incredibly problematic because somebody who's been convicted of manslaughter can go ahead and get a hemp license, whereas somebody who sold a bag of weed can't.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Right. But there's other stuff that relates to the tribal authorities, which is really big for the tribes, but I'm almost out of time and
sorry about that, Ben. We definitely need more time. 100%. We're going to get in a long format, sit down for a good hour, 2 hours where we can just dive in, hash out, you know, everything that you've got to say about this. And then also I've just got a ton of questions because I'm not an expert on the regulatory body and then, you know, the final hemp rule.
Yeah. And I see somebody asking about any further details on Delta 9 or Delta 10. Delta 10 isn't even mentioned in the hemp rules. Delta 9 is very specifically mentioned in the hemp rules. And again, as we go back, the USDA is concerned for official compliance purposes.
Excellent. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and shift gears. So if you're interested in connecting with Ben and Premium CBD Labs, please add them to your network on CanTrade. You can also connect with them directly and ask questions from the Premium CBD Labs wholesale store. Post in the webinar chat, also in the CanTrade feed and in the podcast and YouTube show notes. Thank you so much for being here, Ben. We just scratched the surface and we've got to do it again.
Definitely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Are you looking for the next great cannabis business to invest in? Then you need to check out the MJ Bulls podcast. Hi, I'm Dan Humiston. Join me each week as I speak to both cannabis entrepreneurs who are raising capital and cannabis investors who are investing capital. Our 10-minute episodes are perfect for the busy investor. Start listening to the MJ Bulls podcast today, wherever you listen to podcasts, and who knows, maybe you'll discover the next cannabis unicorn.